Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning, we're going to look briefly. It's going to be a one-shot message, as we call it, because we'll get this one of these two studies starting next week. But we're going to look briefly at what I call sacrifices. Sacrifices that we as believers can offer to God. Now, most of the time, we don't think about sacrifices. We think about the Old Testament. We think of animal sacrifices, and they covered sin and all this. But we want to look at sacrifices we as believers can offer. We'll find out there's some great stuff, and we'll see how it all fits together. So let's begin with prayer, and then we'll look at it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for this class. I just love it, Lord. Thank you that we get to be together and study and look at different truths and principles. And so, Lord, we just ask you that you'd teach us as we think about being offering sacrifices for you. And so, Lord, we just ask you that we'd see what your word has to say and make application. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you think of sacrifices, there are a lot of things that we think of. First of all, we probably think of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, how he came to this earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. He offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. So we think of that. Sometimes we think of sacrifices. We think about the Old Testament. We think about the priest and the people coming, and they would have these animals, and animals would die as a covering for sin. Or sometimes they were peace offerings, Thanksgiving offering, different feast days. So we sometimes think of sacrifices that way. Sometimes when we hear the word sacrifice, we think of giving up something. Giving up something that maybe a parent makes sacrifices for their children, or a person makes a sacrifice for something else. And then sometimes when we think about sacrifices, we think about here we are living for God in a fallen world, and it's a sacrifice to do that, and you know, hard and all of that. So there's so much there. But this morning, we want to look at sacrifices maybe in a little bit different way. We want to look at the sacrifices we as believers offer to God. And there's some things that there's two different things we're going to see. Number one, we're going to look at, first of all, who are we? We are believers, but there's a, how can we offer sacrifices? The answer is we're priests. We are priests. In fact, now there's some different groups, and they call the sort of like their pastor, they might call him a priest or something. But in reality, everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior is a priest. And we're going to talk about, as a priest, what do we do? And that's the second part. What do? We have a privilege and responsibility of offering sacrifices. So let's start. Who are we? Question is that when we look in the Bible, we can think of ourselves in a lot of ways. What are some of the ways? Well, sometimes the Bible calls us children of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. Galatians 3:26, we're all children of God by faith in Christ. So sometimes we're called children. Sometimes we're called ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're ambassadors for Christ. Acts 1:8 says we're witnesses for Christ. Sometimes we're called slaves. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, what, do you not know your body? You've been bought with a price. You know, you're not our own. So we belong to God. Sometimes we're soldiers in the fight in Ephesians, and athletes running the race in 1 Corinthians 9, laborers in the harvest. So there's a lot of ways we're described, but one way that we're described is priest. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a priesthood. In fact, we're called kingdom of priests. We'll see that in Revelation in just a little bit. When you think about the priesthood, think about the Old Testament. There were how many tribes of Israel? Well, there were actually 13. There were 12, but Joseph was divided into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. So there were 13 tribes. 12 of them got land. One of them didn't get land. Which one didn't get land? Levi. Why? Because they were the priesthood. And so when you think of the Old Testament, we think of priesthood, and we think of the tribe of Levi, and we think of these different priests. And as I said a while ago, in the New Testament, every believer is called a priest. But in the Old Testament, I want you to think about this. As the history of the Old Testament went on, there was a time in which the head of a family unit was the priest of that family. When you see the book of Job, basically Job lived probably about the same time as Abraham. The father of the family was the priest of the family. If you remember the book of Job, Job offered sacrifices for his children in case they had sinned or messed up or something. We saw later that then God, after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that, they chose the tribe of Levi to be the priest. The Levites were set apart ones. Now, when we think about priest, think about it. They had special clothes that they wore when they served. They were washed and anointed. Do you realize that before a person became a priest, they were set out in front of all the people, and oil was poured on their head, and they were anointed, and then they were washed, and there was a sacrifice made, and blood was taken, and the blood was put on the lobe of their ear, on their toe, and on their finger. Hear the word, obey the word, do the word. Walk in the word, do the word, hear the word. That was the symbol of it, that they had the blood put on their ear and their toe and their finger. And then they had special sacrifices that they made yearly and daily and all of that kind of thing. Well, think about it. In 1 Peter, it says, we are a royal priesthood. That means a kingdom of priests. Without turning there, let me read something to you. This is in the book of Revelation. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness of the dead, to him he loves us and he released us from our sins by his blood. He has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father. Literally in the Greek it says kingdom of priests. So we are a kingdom of priests. We are set apart people as priests of God. And so in reality, every one of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're priests. Now, we all think, well, what does a priest do? Well, think about it. Remember we said priests, they had those three things. They had those special clothes. They were washed and they had special sacrifices. Well, we have special clothes. We are clothed in the righteousness of God. In fact, when you look in the later in the book of Revelation, when people are standing before God, we are clothed in robes of righteousness. That's the priest. And then what about washed? Well, we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Acts 20, verse 28 says that he has washed us in his own blood. And then the last thing was special sacrifices. Well, we a lot of times say, well, wait a minute. All those sacrifices and all those animals, that's over with. We don't do that anymore. Well, the truth is we don't offer physical type sacrifices in a sense like an animal, but there are spiritual sacrifices that we offer. We'll see it in a minute when we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 again. So the first thing is, who are we? We're priests. And a lot of people don't understand that. So if you've ever thought about it, you are a priest of God. Now, there's some tremendous privileges and also tremendous responsibilities being a priest of God. What do we do? What is our privilege and responsibility? Well, the bottom line is to make God known through the sacrifices. That's what the priest's job was to do. In the Old Testament, the priest's job was to make God known through the sacrificial system. That's what he did. When he offered the sacrifices, it talked about the person and the work of the Savior. Think about it. Every Old Testament sacrifice was a foreshadow of who? Jesus Christ. And the priest represented the fact that there's a God and there's a Savior and there's a Messiah coming. And this sacrifice covers sin, but there's a sacrifice that's coming from the Messiah who deals with sin. So all of the animal sacrifices, the spotless animals, the picture of Christ shed the blood. So the sacrifices made God known. We do the same thing. By our sacrifices, we make God known. Now think about it. We make God known because we're a royal priesthood. Look again at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Now he goes on to say, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. That's talking about the greatness of Christ who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, you get to be a royal priest so that you can make known the one who saved you, the one who took you from darkness to light. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. We were all in darkness rather than light. He has taken us from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ, from being in the darkness to being in the light, from being in the kingdom of Satan, so to speak, to being in the kingdom of God. That's what he's done. He's made these changes. So it says here, we're a royal priesthood so that we get to proclaim the excellencies, the greatness of him, of Jesus, who has called us out of darkness into light. How do we do that? We do it through sacrifices. That sounds a little strange because we don't talk about sacrifices that much, but this passage we do. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built upon the spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We're a what kind of priesthood? A royal, holy priesthood. Now notice, to offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, in the church, the body of Christ, Jews and Gentiles, one body, believing in Jesus Christ, placed in him, growing to be like Christ, we do not offer up physical sacrifices in the sense of saying, let's bring in an animal, let's sacrifice that animal, let blood be shed. Just like in the Old Testament, they did that, but all of those sacrifices were foreshadows. They were all pictures. The law was just a shadow of the good thing to come and not the very image, Hebrews chapter 10. And what we find out is we don't offer those kind of sacrifices. He says we're a royal priesthood who offer up spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But in Hebrews 10:12 says, but when he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus offered the final sacrifice, there are no sacrifices for sin ever again. It's already taken care of. Jesus Christ is the Savior. So we don't have these physical sacrifices like they had in the Old Testament. So what do? As priest of God, well, we offer up what I call spiritual sacrifice. Well, not what I call. He calls them spiritual sacrifices. He offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there's something I want you to see before we go any further. Everything we do, if we're going to come to God, the only way we can come to God is how? Through Jesus Christ. Our salvation, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Our Christian life, if we're going to offer up any kind of sacrifices to God, it's got to be through Jesus Christ, which is acceptable to God. If we're going to pray, how do we pray? We offer up our prayer request in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can come to God. It's amazing. So Jesus is the Savior. He is the mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. So let's think about some sacrifices. I think I have a overhead deal that lists some of the sacrifices, I think we got the first two. Let's look at them. We're called priest of God, 1 Peter 2:9, Revelation 1:5-6, we're a kingdom of priests. There are four sacrifices to offer. If you want to write these down, you can. Let's look at the first one. There's the first one, the second one, then I got another page that's got the third one and the fourth one. And let's go back to the first one. The first one, the very first sacrifice that we make, and you know, I talked about this last Sunday morning when we were talking about beginning a new year and living for Jesus Christ and making an impact. The very first sacrifice that we make is ourselves. If you want to, just very quickly turn to Romans 12. We've seen it many, many times. We talked about it last Sunday morning. Most of you have memorized the verse. You don't even have to turn there. In a sense, I bet most of you could go Romans 12 and say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I know most of you can do that. But if you want to look at it, it's fun to look at it as well. But the very first sacrifice is ourselves. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're talking about being a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, he says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Notice Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. We're talking about presenting ourselves and our lives to God. The very first sacrifice that you can make as a priest of God is to take your life and say to God, I offer my life to you. Now, let me be very clear, because you know I made this very clear last week when we talked about this Sunday morning for a second, is that offering your life as a sacrifice for God has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, gives us eternal life as a gift when we believe in him. It's by grace you're saved through faith, not yourselves, gift of God, not of works, let anyone boast. So sometimes people get confused and they'll even actually go to Romans 12 and they'll tell people, in order to be saved, you have to give your life to Jesus. Now, this is for believers. Notice it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to Christians. So just be clear, salvation is a gift that costs us nothing, but the sacrifice as a priest of God, because we belong to him, is offering our lives. Notice the verse says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, which is your spiritual act of worship. This is what you do. And then he tells us plainly how to live this out. You know, here's the thing. I hear people say things like, I think I'd die for Jesus. Well, you know, the truth is he didn't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. So live for him. You may never have to die for him. In some parts of the world, people die for Christ. In the United States, we're not dying for him right now, but what he does say is live for him. And so I beseech you, I present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And then he sort of gives us some details on how to do it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So literally, stop being conformed to this world. Let me tell you something. If you are not growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you are being conformed to this world. It's not some little thing that you're sitting here and nothing's happening to you. You're either growing like Jesus or you're being shaped by the world. It's just happening. You're not just in a stationary place, sort of in limbo, going, well, I'm not doing either one. No, you either growing or you're not. And if you're not, you're being conformed to this world. So he says, stop being conformed to this world. Literally, stop being conformed to this world. Don't let this world shape you. But what you have to do is be transformed, changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. Of course, that's the Word of God. It is easy to be shaped by this world. When you offer your life to God and say, God, take my life. Use me for your glory. As a priest, I give you this sacrifice, and this sacrifice is me. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New person. You're a new person. Give him this new person. Say, God, take my life and use me for your glory. So the first sacrifice is ourselves. There's a second sacrifice, which is, I call it praise and thanksgiving. It's the sacrifice of our lips. Hebrews 13. I want you to turn there because that's where we're going to be. Turn to Hebrews 13. But Colossians says, the offer up the sacrifice of the fruit of our lips. So go over to Hebrews 13. I want you to see this because it's powerful. We're studying the book of Hebrews, of course, on Wednesday nights, and we're in chapter 11, and someday we'll be in chapter 13, but there's some great things there. Hebrews 13, verse 15, look what it says. Let me give everybody time to get there. This is the second sacrifice that we can offer, and many of you did it today. It's offering up what? The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13, verse 15, through him then, through who? Jesus. Remember, the only way you can offer an acceptable sacrifice to God is through Christ. So through him then, let us continually, oh, just every now and then, no, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And that's why I call it the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. So the second one comes from our lips. This is something. Now, the first one is we take ourselves and we say to God, I give you my life. The second one is we say, God, from my mouth, I want to lift up a sacrifice to you, and that is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And notice it says continually do that, offering up to praise to God. Now, praise to God is who he is and what he's done. He actually gives even more details because he says, I want you to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, which is who he is, what he has done. That's really worship, you know, and give thanks to his name. To give thanks to his name is to be thankful for who he is. What is his name? What's his name? It's not a trick question. It's Jesus, isn't it, right? Okay. What does the name Jesus mean? It means Savior. You're giving thanks in his name. You're saying, I thank you for being my Savior. When you thank God for being a Savior, when you praise him, when we sing these songs and do all that, I mean, when we call it the praise and worship team, what are we doing? We're singing songs and we're singing them to God. And we're saying, you know, I praise your name and we lift your name on high. We're doing that. And you are offering sacrifices to God when you do that. You may not even realize it. So this morning, probably all of us who sang, and if you haven't been in the service, and we sang a song a while ago, but maybe you didn't sing at that or something, but when you get to the service this morning, if you haven't already been there, you're going to sing praises to his name. You'll be offering sacrifices to God as a priest of God. Isn't that incredible? Wow. Now, we're running out of time, so let me give you the next two go together. Three and four go together. Good works and sharing, because Hebrews 13 says the same thing. Let me look at Hebrews 13, verse 16. It says, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such, what? Sacrifices, God is pleased. So the third and the fourth ones, we'll just kind of put them together. One is doing good works, the other is sharing. Let's talk about it. Do you realize, he says, do not neglect doing good works, doing good, because with that sacrifice, God is pleased. When you do good for other people, you are offering up sacrifices to God, because remember, you're a priest of God. You're representing God. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Wow. Titus 3:8 says, it is important that all those who have believed in Jesus Christ to maintain what? Good works. It's powerful. Galatians 6:10, do good to all people, especially the household of God. That's Galatians 6:10. And so when you think about it, we get to do good works. Every time you are used by God to do something good for somebody else, you are offering to God a sacrifice. So, You can offer yourself. You can offer praise and thanksgiving coming from your lips as a sacrifice to God. You can do good works as a sacrifice to God. Here's the last one. Sharing. Hebrews 13:1 says, let the love of the brethren continue and be sharing. Sharing has the idea of giving to one another's or sharing with one another's. You remember in Acts? You don't have to turn it, but in Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, he talked about it when the church came together at the very beginning, everything was happening. People took what they had and they shared with others. Now, listen to this. This is Philippians chapter 4. They had just sent Paul, obviously money or something, either money, food, clothes. They sent things to Paul. Paul was in prison, and the church at Philippi had sent this to him. And so he says, I have received everything in full, and I have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. What you have sent is a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. When you give, you know that when it's time for the offering and they pass that plate around, when you give out of what God has given to you, you are offering a sacrifice to God. Anytime you use what you have and you give or you help others or you meet needs or you do anything like that, as you share, whatever happened to it? But anyway, it's up there eventually. As it won't come up? Oh, there it is. Sharing, meeting needs, that's an act, not only an act of worship, but it is a sacrifice. It's pretty powerful. So I want to think, because the first bell rings, so we got about 2 or 3 minutes. But think about this. Sacrifices that we can make as priests. Ourselves, praise and thanksgiving, our good works, and sharing what we have. All of these are sacrifices to God as a priest. So think about this. We are priests of God. We make God known through our sacrifices. We offer sacrifices of ourselves, our praise, our thanksgiving, our good works, and our sharing. Now, do we have applications up there? Let's throw the applications up real quickly. Just let's be faithful as priests of God. Now, think about it. Let's be faithful as priests of God. By faith in Christ, we've been set apart. We're a royal priesthood. We belong to Him. Our goal is to make Him known as a royal priesthood. So number two, let's offer sacrifices. Now, what are they? A, ourselves. I told you last Sunday, when I mentioned this from the pulpit, from our passage that we talked about, the greatest change in my life, I trusted Christ when I was 19. When I was about 25 or 26, I offered my life as a living sacrifice to God. I've never been the same. So if you have never done that, if you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, but you said, you know, I didn't even know I was a priest, and I didn't even know what sacrifices were, you can say to God, God, the first sacrifice I want to give to you is myself. I want my life to count for you. Do that. B, praise and thanksgiving. All day long. Not only just when we're in the service and the praise team and the worship and all that's going on, but during the day you can offer up sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God and tell Him who He is and what He's done and thank you for everything. And you remember, everything you have comes from Him, and He's a God of grace. Every aspect of your life is grace. We should be so thankful to Him and praise Him because He is our God and Savior. And not only is He our Creator, He's our Redeemer. He's everything. So offer up the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. And then C is our actions. And of course, our actions is our good works and our giving and sharing. And we want to look for ways you can touch other people's lives with the things that you do and the things that you have. So often we think about our possessions as something that God's given us for us. But in reality, God's given us all things to enjoy. But many of the things He's given us is so that we can turn around and use it for His glory and to help other people. So may we as priests offer sacrifices of ourselves, our lips, our actions, so that our great God and Savior might be made known. Let me pray, and then we'll open up for any questions or comments that you might have. Heavenly Father, thank You for this and the fact that You have saved us. You've set us apart. You've called us a royal priesthood, and that we get to make spiritual sacrifices acceptable to You through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just want to be faithful priests. Thank you for that. We want to offer, first of all, our sacrifice of ourselves. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this room who has trusted Jesus but never offered themselves as a sacrifice, that today maybe they'll consider that. And they might even go home and think about it and then offer that sacrifice. And, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. And, Lord, we just lift them up even now. You are the greatest. You saved us. You're our Creator, our Redeemer. You do everything for us. You're a God of grace. We love you and we thank you. And then, Lord, finally, by our actions, our works, and our sharing, and that stuff that you've given us, may we share and do good works so that you would be proclaimed and glorified in our community and our lives. Lord, we just want to be faithful priests offering up our sacrifices to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.